I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday, the 10th of October. We're going to go to the oceans this hour of the program. Our guest is Dr. Ellen Prager, a marine scientist and president of Earth to Ocean Incorporated. She's also the author, most recently, of Sex, Drugs, and Sea Slime, The Ocean's Oddest Creatures and Why They Matter. She is a well-respected marine scientist, widely recognized for her expertise and also her ability, thankfully for us, to bring science to the layperson. She is formerly the chief scientist for the Aquarius Reef-based program in Key Largo. She's participated in research exhibitions to places all over the world, the Galapagos Islands, Papua New Guinea, the Caribbean, the Bahamas, and the deep waters of the Florida Reef Tract. She will be joining us to talk about the health of the oceans, why that is important, and also some of the incredible dives that she has participated in. We'll be welcoming phone calls for Ellen Prager. Our phone number, as always, is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655 for you to join our conversation. And just a reminder that we are in our fall membership pledge drive. Only a couple, not too many hours left for me to ask you for your support of this particular program. So please pledge. And thank you for doing so. WPR.org or 888-202-2552 for you to join our conversation, or for you to pledge and to join our conversation, is the different call-in number, 800-486-8655. Ellen Prager, hello. Thanks so much for being with us.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
So when did the ocean start captivating you? When you were a kid?
Oh my goodness, that's a great question. I sort of learned to snorkel when I was a kid.
Ah.
In high school, I was working as a lifeguard. And the guys I worked with brought some scuba tanks to the pool, and they said, you want to try these on? Put them on. They could not get me out of the pool.
So
I started scuba diving and then got interested in science. You know, you put the two together, go outside, scuba dive, study the coral reefs, and I was hooked.
Mm-hmm.
So really, it was in college, and I took a semester and studied marine science in the tropics, and that was it. I mean, it was hard to get me back.
It's interesting to think of your mind and the rest of our minds, except for people who do what you do. You are aware of a huge part of this planet that most of us never see.
That's true, and in a way that is very different in terms of being actually in it. And I don't want to give away my age, but that was quite a while ago when I first started doing this, and I've seen some drastic changes.
What have you seen?
Well, you know, in the Caribbean, and in fact, I was just in the British Virgin Islands, one of my favorite places, but they pot fish, where they put traps out on the reef, and then they collect every single fish that gets in that trap, and they cook them in pots, so they call them pot fishing. So there were hardly any fish on the reef. Around the world, corals are dying. When I used to go out on reefs, there were tons of corals, tons of big fish, and you just don't see that around the world anymore because of problems like overfishing, climate change. So it's kind of depressing for me to go out scuba diving now in some places.
Does somebody are you in charge and are others in charge of giving us a year-by-year report card on the health of our oceans and our reefs?
Well, I personally am not involved in such investigations, but in the past decade or so, there are groups trying to do that. There are groups, like there's one called Reef Check that it's great. They use divers from all over the world, not just scientists, who go out and do surveys of reefs and look at the health over the year. There's also a group this year put out sort of an ocean health card, a group of scientists trying to do exactly what you're suggesting is try and give a sort of a look at what's going on. But, you know, like you said, most people don't see it. You can't really see it with your own eyes, and so it's a very hard message to get across, I think.
So how do you get the message across to those people who are probably not very wealthy, who are doing pot fishing in various places around the world because they need the food, and there it is, and how do you get the message, this may not be a very good thing to be doing?
Well, and I think you have to have a balanced approach. You can't just say stop, because like you said, they're doing it for food. A lot of it is sustenance fishing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you have to set some places aside as marine reserves and say, here are places where we're going to stop fishing and we're going to let the fish come back. And that will then, in fact, I was just talking to yesterday, in fact, I was out swimming and I ran into one of the, I think, world's experts in fish, and Jim Bonsack, and he said that he would just finish two studies that said if you set these marine reserves aside, the fish and diversity of fish will grow and repopulate, and they'll spread into other places that can be fished.
Hmm.
The other thing, I think, is we have to train fishermen to fish in ways that are less destructive. You know, not say you can't fish, but say here are some species that you can fish. Let's manage the populations, and let's do it in a way that is not destructive so that you're not taking the baby fish who haven't yet had time to be able to reproduce.
Mm-hmm.
So I do. I mean, I want to make, you know, clear. I'm not saying don't fish. I'm saying we need a balanced approach.
And when you say, Dr. Prager, we have to, who's the we?
Well, I think scientists have to work with conservationists, have to work with fishermen, and we have to work with regulators. You know, if you set up a marine reserve, that's great, but if you don't put any money into enforcing it and you don't have people to go out there and explain, you know, you can't fish in this area, it doesn't work. So honestly, it can't just be scientists, it can't just be educators or fishermen or regulators. We have to work together. And, you know, traditionally we're not very good at that.
Right. Are there certain, without being too alarmist, but I guess you have to be about certain things, are there certain species we have just lost forever?
Well, you know, we don't know how many species there are even in the ocean, so we may have lost some forever. What's happening now is that even if fish or other organisms haven't gone extinct, they're becoming what we call commercially extinct. Things like cod, where there used to be, you know, millions of cod, now those fisheries have collapsed.
Really?
Oh, yes. Cod, orange roughy. For a while, you would see orange roughy on all the menus, but it's a slow-growing, deep-water fish, and they were overfished. So now you don't see it very much. So there are a lot of species that we have fished up to the point of collapse. And I think there are probably species that have gone completely, but we don't even know it.
Well, somebody needs to pay attention to all of that, right? I mean, how could we have let orange roughy disappear almost? Why? What were we thinking?
Well, we're not thinking. I mean,
we're not thinking.
What happens is we go out and fish one species, we overfish it, so then we start fishing another. We don't see the bigger picture. We don't see that, you know, what happened with the cod. You know, people lose their jobs. People don't have fish to eat. People don't have protein. I mean, the problem with these collapses is they have sort of a cascading effect. And it's an election year. We're talking about jobs. I wish somebody would say, you know, the ocean is too big to fail. We should be talking about the hundreds of millions of jobs, fishermen, tourism, recreation. Nobody ever talks about that.
Yeah. Tell me about, from all that you've seen and from what we're beginning to learn, all that there may be in the ocean that we just don't know about yet, that indeed there may be sources of food in the ocean, there may be sources of medicine that we don't know about. How much exploration, scientific exploration, is going on now?
Well, there's some exploration going on. It's really not the heyday of it. We have lost a lot of our submersibles. The government is pulling out a lot of their money for exploration. But one of the really, I think, interesting aspects of exploration of the ocean that a lot of people don't know about is that it has become the latest frontier for drug discovery. Many of the animals in the ocean, it's very interesting, use chemicals as defense. If you think about a sponge or something that's attached to the seafloor, you know, if a predator comes, they can't run away, they can't fight back, so they use chemicals as defense. And so we're discovering that these chemicals might be good to fight cancer.
Hmm.
Might be good to fight other diseases, and they've already made several discoveries, and there are drugs on the market today that come from chemicals from organisms in the sea. And if we lose organisms, we may be losing that next cure for cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's an area of exploration that I hope will continue, but honestly, in particular in the U.S., we are losing our leaders as ocean explorers because we're not investing in it.
Mm. What's happened? You said we've lost our submersibles. Where are they?
Well, I know of, in fact, one ship and submersible who has been loaned out to an oil industry in Brazil because there was no funding for it. Mostly, they're sitting dockside or they're just gone. You know, they've been sold because we don't have the money to support them. and to do expeditions to explore.
And these are the machines that go way down.
Right. Right. I mean, you look at the most recent sort of expedition that a lot of people heard about was James Cameron, who, you know, God love him, loves the ocean, is an explorer, loves technology, so he built his own submersible to go and explore the ocean. And that, you know, is sort of the direction we're headed, because if we don't find other people, we don't find other sources of money, we're not going to be exploring the ocean for new drugs, say, or new organisms.
Our guest this hour is Ellen Prager, marine scientist and president of Earth to Ocean. Her most recent book is Sex, Drugs, and Sea Slime, The Ocean's Oddest Creatures and Why They Matter. She has also done some diving all over the world in fascinating places, so we'll take a little tour with her. She can talk about creatures that she knows exist that we maybe don't know exist, so we'll learn about those in a moment as we continue our conversation with her. We are enjoying, I love talking about the oceans, and we do a lot of science here on the program as well. I'm sure you know if you listen to us regularly, we're talking about the health of our oceans and what's in the oceans, what we have yet to explore. We'll get back to that conversation, but first we need to take just a few minutes to ask for your support of the programs that you enjoy. Wisconsin Public Radio is listener supported, and we are in our full membership drive. Gina Dragutinovich is with me, and we are asking you to go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 right now to make a gift of support of the programs that you count on.
That's right. And last hour we heard from 44 listeners, 22 new pledge listeners. So thank you so much for those pledges. They
thank
go a long
you.
Way. Yep. And our goal this hour is to get to 35 pledges. Help us meet this goal by making a contribution now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. The programs you enjoy will be here every day on Wisconsin Public Radio, thanks to your gift.
It's almost as though we have our own personal trainers, life coaches, marine biologist. Here they are on the air with us, and we can avail ourselves of all the information that they have. When you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, you get great advice from all kinds of people, all kinds of information. And what's the cost to you? Well, you choose. The Ideas Network is your affordable source for helpful information. It's really a great deal. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And giving couldn't be easier. We just need your name, contact information, the amount of your pledge, and how you'd like to pay. You can save time and money by using a credit card, or better yet, start automatic sustaining donations from your bank account. You choose how to give, and then you do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can listen to WPR every day for years, and you'll never get a bill. We don't count how many minutes you listen. We don't put a meter on your radio. We use the honor system, and we count on you to voluntarily make a pledge to pay for the listening you do. You decide how much WPR is worth to you, whether it's a dollar or two a week, a dollar a day. You decide, and then please go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hello, it's Garrison Keillor here with a message about an innovation that might be of interest to you, and that's sustaining membership. As a sustaining member, you'll have regular monthly deductions from your bank account sent directly to your public radio station. No fussing over checks, no reminders in the mail. You can stop anytime. And here's the best part, it can mean even less on-air fundraising like I'm doing right now. So consider becoming a sustaining member, and thank you.
Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Gina Dragutinovich, and we are asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Your gift may be $50, $100, $500, whatever amount you choose is the right amount. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you heard something on Wisconsin Public Radio that you wanted to pass on to a friend. With program notes on the website and audio archives, you can pass things on. Maybe you already do. It's a great way to stay connected with others. By passing on ideas, stories, information, we help you stay connected with friends and family and with the world. Your donation keeps this connection going. Make your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio listeners become Wisconsin Public Radio contributors for many reasons, and one of the main reasons is they want to make a difference. Giving to Wisconsin Public Radio is one way to make a difference and help your local community.
And your pledge today not only pays for the programs you listen to, it also gives other people the chance to discover WPR. Make that difference. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when we ask for your pledge, we're only looking to break even. I think you know that about us. We're not in it to make a lot of money. The support we ask for is the amount that we actually need to provide the service that you've come to expect from us. We want you to know that your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is a very important part of keeping things running smoothly.
That's right. Join your friends and neighbors in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. It takes the support of everyone who listens to make this radio station as good as it can be. When you, with your pledge today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you'll be doing your part to make sure the news and information you need is here every day.
So help us out. We need 32 pledges in the next how many minutes, Gina?
What do we have here?
I don't know.
About 20 or so minutes, a little more than 20 minutes.
All right, a little more than 20 minutes. So help us out. Help us out now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we also have that WPR T-shirt, that wonderful T-shirt.
Yeah, we haven't talked about that much.
Yeah, so let's remind folks, with your pledge of $120 or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you get that shirt.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Gina, very much. And lines are open for you. Thanks, everybody, for pledging. Again, it's WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Back to our conversation about the health of our oceans in a moment on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We talk about the health of our oceans this hour. Ellen Prager is our guest, marine scientist and president of Earth to Ocean. She's the author of Sex, Drugs, and Sea Slime, The Ocean's Oddest Creatures and Why They Matter. She's been scuba diving for years and has been to some extraordinary locations all over the world. We'll get to those during the course of our further conversation. And we're welcoming phone calls for her. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Dan in Frankville is our first caller, Ellen. Hi, Dan.
How do you? I've been out in the swimming on the reefs of the Cayman Islands, you know, since the mid-60s, I was just a little boy. And the colors were just unbelievable. I mean, it was just, I can't describe it in words because words that would never do it justice, but that reef died pretty quickly and around the whole island, because we used to go out on all different parts of the island. Sometimes we'd hike even miles where there wasn't a road to go by a beachfront where no one was even there. There was no one there because it was really spectacular. Because I wasn't fished at all really that much because people couldn't get to it. You had to hike to get there. But I know they dive around the town with diving gear, and there is some pretty stuff to see, but that's in deeper depths. But the reef that I'm talking about, you snorkel and stuff, and it's a thin, like, fence. It's like, sort of like a barrier around the whole island. But that island is basically looks like a bunch of old cement blocks. You can't even tell a reef was there. It's just, it looks like gray cement broken up blocks.
It's gone. Yeah, Ellen.
Well, so, Dan, are you saying that that whole reef died?
The whole reef is dead all the way around the whole island. It just looks like broken up, like someone dumped a bunch of broken concrete blocks for a house around it. I mean, the fish are all gone.
It's gone. Yeah.
Yeah, it's gone. It's very sad. Around the world, we're seeing this happening, Dan. Unfortunately, it's not just there. Whether it's a local impact, things like, you know, somebody development. I mean, if somebody may have been building something and they may have released sediment that could smother the coral reefs, that happens in places. Some places around the world, they actually use dynamite to fish, and they blow up the reef to blow up the habitat.
Ooh.
It's unbelievable. And then, of course, you know, one of the things that is really impacting our reefs right now is climate change. Rising temperatures, increasing acidification or the lowering of the pH of the water is stressing corals. And you may have heard of something called bleaching, where corals turn white because they lose the algae in their tissues. And many corals die when this happens. And it can happen from temperature shock. It can happen if they're exposed to high prolonged water temperatures, cold or warm, and radiation. So the reefs, it's overfishing, it's pollution, it's climate change. And unfortunately, we think reefs are going to be sort of like the canaries in the ocean that are going to really show the impacts of these things more so than other places. And then, like you are saying, it's so sad when you see an entire reef die.
And tell me what the importance of reefs. Who depends on reefs to stay alive?
Well, you know, you can think of it in a couple different ways. They're important to the ocean ecosystem as a great habitat for a diversity of life. If you look at it in terms of human existence, there are hundreds of thousands, probably millions of jobs depend on coral reefs. People get, it's not only tourism and recreation, people also depend on reefs for fish, for food, for fishing. So we depend on it both in terms of our environment, the ocean itself, the well-being of the ocean ecosystem, but also for our economy and people's health and well-being. And for those of us who, you know, can you put a price on the enjoyment and serenity we get from being in a coral reef? That's a tough one. But I think there's very clear value otherwise.
Thank you so much, Dan, for your call. We have some lines open if you'd like to join our conversation about the health of our oceans. 800-486-8655 is the number. And Jeff in Winona is next. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
A couple of years ago, my family and I went down to John Pennekamp Reef State Park in Florida. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Sure.
But, it was a nice park, and we went out to snorkel and stuff. But I was amazed that I didn't see one sea urchin. And I've snorkeled in the Mediterranean and other places, and they're always kind of a nuisance. And I was kind of amazed about that, and I was just wondering what's going on.
Yeah, Jeff, that's a really great question. Because it turns out in the 1980s, there was a disease that spread throughout Florida, the Bahamas, and the Caribbean that killed 95% of all of the black tiny sea urchins.
Oh,
yes. Now, we don't know what caused it. We don't know, was it overpopulation? Was it a natural disease? Was it something else? But that was one of the things that started the decline of many reefs, because these black spiny sea urchins are like little vacuum cleaners. They hide in crevices during the day, and at night they come out and they scrape over the reef eating algae. And so you think about that. You lost that vacuum cleaner.
Hmm.
And they're slowly starting to come back, but with pollution and other things going on, it's harder for them to come back. So, Jeff, that's a great observation, and that had a big impact on the sort of tropical and subtropical environments that have reefs. In Florida and the Bahamas was because of this die-off. I lived in St. Croix for a while, and you just assumed every time you would dive, you were going to get stuck by one of these things before this happened, because they were so abundant, right?
Right. Yeah. That's what I told my kids before, you know, from the Midwest, they never snorkeled, you know, in the ocean before. I said, well, watch out for the sea urchins, but there weren't any. So
yeah, but there are some scientists, interestingly enough, there are scientists who are trying to sort of grow them and then restore them through transplantation on reefs. But it's a very difficult thing because there's a bottleneck in sort of getting enough larvae and getting them to survive on the reefs. So, you know, I think what we have to do is make the reefs themselves healthy, and where there are small clusters is what you see. When I was just in the British Virgin Islands, and I saw clusters of the sea urchins coming back. But the reef itself has to be healthy for them to survive.
Thanks so much
for
the call.
Much.
And so how do you make the reef healthy again?
Well, again, I think we need to set up places where there are marine reserves, where we prevent overfishing or fishing in general. We have to, where there is fishing, we have to do it in a more managed way. We need to do something about climate change. You know, that's a tough one, but we need to get a handle on climate change. And then there's local issues, things like runoff that are carrying marine debris and chemicals and sediment into the ocean. Locally, we have to stop those pollution problems, because every reef you go to is a little bit different. But they all, some have the same problems like climate change, but many reefs have individual problems like runoff or, you know, like your other caller was mentioning, there could be some development nearby where they were putting nutrients and sediment into the water through runoff. So we can prevent those things.
Let's talk a little bit more about climate change as somebody who dives all over the world. What effects are you seeing firsthand as a result of climate change, Ellen?
Well, I have seen areas at times where corals bleach, where we have prolonged high seawater temperatures, and they seem to be happening more often. We get areas of corals bleaching. I've also seen some die-offs where you can have, when the water gets very warm, it can't hold a lot of oxygen, and you can get fish kills because of that.
Mm-hmm.
I have been involved with people studying the impacts of the acidification of the ocean. That is, when you have more carbon dioxide being absorbed into the ocean, the pH lowers, and there's been a 30% decrease in pH since the industrial age. And to be honest, we don't know what the impacts of that are going to be, but we think it's going to disrupt the biological processes of many organisms, and things like corals, oysters, lobsters with shells, or skeletons of calcium carbonate are going to be the most impacted. And in the Pacific Northwest, they're already seeing problems with oyster larvae not being able to build their shells and not surviving because of this change in the pH of the water.
Do we have a handle on this? Are you concerned that we're not moving ahead with due diligence?
Well, my fear is, I honestly think we know enough now to say these are major problems, and we're going to see a loss of habitat of reefs, seagrass beds, shellfish. What we don't have a handle on is getting the political will and money to make a difference, and the, you know, people to make the changes we need to make to stop it from happening. That to me is a much bigger hurdle than the science at this point.
So what do you do about that? How do you get the political will?
I think doing what you're doing, which is helping to spread the word, is very important. I think we need some leaders, and we need to convince some leaders to make these issues more of a priority. I'd like to, obviously, we either need to raise money or we need to get the government to invest in more money. So there need to be more people fighting the fight, I guess.
Mm. More people fighting the fight.
I don't know. I mean, if I had a good answer for that, it would be great. But I think this is the problem, is getting the word out, making the connection between the ocean and the quality of life we live today.
Mm. Mm. That's an important statement. The ocean and the quality of life that we live, that we have. We're going to continue our conversation with Ellen Prager in just one moment. She's a fascinating woman. She's a marine scientist and president of Earth to Ocean, also an author, Sex, Drugs, and Sea Slime, The Ocean's Oddest Creatures and Why They Matter. She also does scuba diving adventures, and their scientific adventures as well, all over the world. We'll talk about some of those dives in a moment. And welcome more of your phone calls, too. Many of you, I know, love the ocean. You've done dives all over, and you're concerned about the health of the ocean and how it relates to the health of all of us. So call us. 800-486-8655 is our number. 800-486-8655. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Gina Dragutinovich. Wisconsin Public Radio is listener-supported. This is our fall membership drive. Listener donations are the foundation of our budget, and it's why we're asking for your gift right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we're looking for 26 more pledges before the end of the hour. So thank you if you've already given, and if you haven't, help us to stay on track by making your contribution right now, WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
You hear great guests all day long on the Ideas Network. It's a remarkable service when you think about it. It's unique. It's one of the unique radio services in the country, and your support makes it possible. Pledge now for the station that you rely on, the station you enjoy, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
you know, supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with 2 minutes of your time. Just give us your name, your contact information, and how much you'd like to give and how you'd like to pay. Whether you call or pledge online, we keep your personal information safe. We don't share it with any other organizations. Your gift supports the stories and programs that keeps you connected to the world. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, you can't tell who's a public radio listener by what they wear or how they look unless they have one of those T-shirts, which you can get up for $120 if you pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And it's a nice T-shirt. Mm-hmm. This group identifies itself by their interest in learning about the world around them. And if you look in the mirror, that is you. You're curious, informed, active, and aware. The kind of radio that you expect here at WPR comes with a pretty steep price tag. And public radio listeners like you become public radio members to support it. So take a moment right now to become who you are, a public radio member. Make that contribution of any amount securely online at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your call is important to us, so please leave a message after the beep.
I don't think that people fully understand that Wisconsin Public Radio is really the basis from which it all began. I'm constantly telling people that you've got a tremendous resource here. You don't have to contribute. I mean, you can go ahead and take the service for free. I tell them, I contribute so you can listen. That always gets them. Here's this tremendous amount of information, which is commercial-free. It's annoyance-free, certainly. And I've got this terrible aversion to commercials, both on television and especially radio. I don't think the people really understand the value that you have right here just flipping on the radio.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge of support. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Gina Dragutinovich, and we are asking for your support of the WPR programs that you count on. And we thank you in advance for your gift of $50, $100, $500, whatever amount is right for you. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right. We hear great stories from WPR listeners every day, and they're usually about how WPR touches their lives. Donor comments like Andrea from Madison, who tells us she loves the range of guests and topics that we carry on Ideas Network every day, and she appreciates the opportunity to start each day by expanding her mind and listening to quality and relevant conversation. And we appreciate that. It's these stories that remind us of how we're connected to each other as a community. We all love great radio programs, programs that engage us, inspire us, and make us think. So your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Again, that's 888-202-2552. Makes great WPR experiences possible for you and for the community.
And it's a pretty easy process to pledge. All you have to do is go to our website, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You choose a monthly amount, $5 a month, $10 a month, any amount, and you can become a sustaining member of the station.
And as a sustainer, you'll provide reliable funding for Wisconsin Public Radio, and as our thank you, we'll automatically enter you in all of our sweepstakes and drawings. So make the switch and make a difference. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You'll enjoy WPR Pledge Free after 1 o'clock this afternoon. To make Pledge Free afternoons possible, we all need to pull together during these earlier hours. So your gift right now, I think we should mention again that T-shirt. You know,
absolutely.
I haven't done much of that T-shirt. Mm-hmm. It's a really good-looking T-shirt.
I have one.
I have one. Yeah, I should have worn one today, but
tomorrow maybe.
Tomorrow, but we have pictures on our Facebook page.
Yes, we do. That's right.
Too. So go to the Kathleen Dunn Show, and there you'll see a T-shirt. That's for a $120 pledge. And here's how you do it: WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, I'm sure you feel like WPR is worth $1 million.
But, oh yeah.
But you don't have that much to give, and that's no problem. It's your gift of any amount, whether it's $10, $120, whatever amount is comfortable for you. That's the right amount to give. The important thing is to make that pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 2552.
We have 25 more pledges to go, and we have about 20 minutes to get there. Help out now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We repeat, your pledge now is very important. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. And thank you. And thank you, Gina.
Thank you.
We're talking about the health of our oceans this hour of the program. Ellen Prager, marine scientist, president of Earth to Ocean, also an author. Her latest book is Sex, Drugs, and Sea Slime, The Ocean's Oddest Creatures and Why They Matter. And we're taking phone calls, 800-486-8655. We'll be with more of your calls in a moment here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The health of our oceans. We return to phone calls. Mary in Madison is next. Hi, Mary.
Hi, good morning. I have a question. I am wondering how the destruction of mangroves is affecting marine life.
Mary, you guys, good questions and a nice topic to bring up. Mary, it's a real problem. Mangroves they serve a lot of purposes, not only in the ocean, but also for the land. In the ocean, they act as nurseries for many of the fish and other creatures that as adults live out in seagrass beds or out on reefs. As young, you know, they go from sort of the larvae to the juvenile stage, they hide out in the mangroves. So they're very important for the ocean ecosystem. They also act to bind the sediment and as a protection from storms and wave erosion for the shore. So they're, again, here we go, they're both important to the ocean ecosystem, but they're also important to humans. I mean, if you take mangroves out, you lose the nursery, but you also lose your protection from erosion from storms, high waves. So they're very important, and it's very sad that we are losing them around the world.
Yes, I agree. It's horrible. And yet people want beachfront.
And not only that, mangroves are kind of stinky, right? You know, if you live near mangroves, they're mosquito-y, they're kind of stinky.
They're really necessary.
Exactly. And you're right, people want to build, they want to put hotels, they want to put stuff on shore, so they take them out. You know, luckily in some places, it's illegal to remove mangroves. And if you have a permit, you have to mitigate it by putting them in somewhere else, which I'm not so sure is, you know, equivalent. Mm-hmm. But that's the kind of thing. We need those sort of restrictions where it's illegal to remove them. It should be in places where it's not.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you.
Thanks, Mary, for the call. Judy in Chippewa Falls. Hi.
Hi. I recently became a member of public radio, and I'm very proud of that. Do you remember Jacques Cousteau from many years ago?
Oh, sure.
He explored the oceans and the reefs, and I used to love to watch him, but I know several times he got very angry because of the garbage and the dead fish and stuff people used to dump down in the oceans. And I know he started some kind of something to get it going to where he could get the government to stop that, and then he died. And I know his son kind of took over, and you don't really hear about that anymore.
Hi, Judy. Well, you know, Cousteau was a huge influence on my life. I, like you, you know, I watched those shows and was just so inspired. And he started a new nonprofit, and his son and his grandchildren, in fact, are all engaged now in ocean conservation and trying to get the word out. But, you know, there's so many other things grabbing our attention right now that it's very hard to get oceans and the problem of marine debris and the other problems we're facing out in the media to the general public because there are so many competing things, honestly. And they're not as sexy as, like, the Jersey Shore, unfortunately. I think they are, but that's a real problem, is that getting FaceTime, getting opportunities like I'm so thankful I've gotten this morning, it's pretty tough. And that's why you're not really hearing about it. It's not that it's not being done, but they just don't have the visibility that Jacques Cousteau had when it was so brand new and there wasn't so many other things to get our attention.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm right there with you.
You know, it's really sad because we depend a lot on the ocean for many things, and I don't think people realize that everything starts in the ocean.
Right.
And it ends up with us. And if things are bad in the ocean, they're going to be bad when they get to us.
Very well said.
Thank you so much for the call. We tomorrow we're going to be doing a program on surviving progress, looking at how we may be able to, part of the documentary is how we may be able to alter, to sort of change our genetic structure and the structure of fish in the ocean and parts of the ocean to feed our needs, really change the very fabric of life. I'm sure you're familiar with how many people are looking at the ocean as some of the algae as a potential source of oil, changing completely from oil to algae, which would dramatically change our landscape. Are there some kinds of technological discoveries that you find heartening? Are there some that you find worrisome, Ellen?
I think what I'm hopeful on is that we can find techniques for aquaculture that will not harm the environment, will not use wild fish as feed, but that we can produce farm fish to feed the billions of people who need it for food, and that that will take some of the pressure off wild populations. So I am hopeful in that regard because we're not, aquaculture is not perfect right now. There are problems, but there's a lot of people trying to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of things I worry about in terms of engineering, I worry about the idea of geoengineering to combat climate change, you know, putting more aerosols up in the sky, building a super shade to slay the sun. One of the problems with those sort of things is we get what's called unintended consequences, where we may, you know, shield the sun, but the increased shade, maybe we won't have enough algae production in the ocean to support food webs. You know, we get consequences from things we didn't realize. And so I worry about the idea of changing nature to suit our needs.
Hmm. Well, we need to spend at least a couple moments talking about a few of your remarkable dives. You have done dives all over the world, so take this whatever direction you want. I'm interested in finding out about some of the creatures that you may have encountered. You said, what in the world is this?
Oh, gosh, I feel so fortunate to have been able to do a lot of diving in places. And sometimes it's the simplest creatures or you could be in very shallow water snorkeling and see some amazing things. One of my favorites are reef squid. Squid are just unbelievable animals. The small reef squid, they're only about maybe a foot long, and they'll swim up to you in a line like they're playing follow the leader. And if you sit very still, they'll swim up to you, and the leader will wave their tentacles at you.
Oh.
And then the ones all behind it will do the same thing.
Oh.
The leader will change colors, and they can change color lightning quick, and the ones behind it will do the same thing.
Are they saying hi?
Well, I'm not really sure what they're saying. I'm saying, maybe saying, what the heck are you? You know, I think a lot of the animals in the ocean are just as curious about us as we are about them. And that I find fascinating. I'm very fortunate to be the science advisor for a celebrity's ship in the Galapagos, the expedition. It's a very small cruise ship, very environmentally friendly. And in the Galapagos, the sea lions are incredibly playful.
Oh,
and you'll be
so
diving, and they will literally swim up to you, stop in front of your face when you're snorkeling, and blow bubbles into your mouth.
No.
I am so much better at this than you.
Oh.
It's incredible. And there, you have such a strange mix, because you're on the equator, but the water comes up from the Antarctic, and there's a lot of upwelling of very cold water. So you'll be swimming around tropical fish, and a penguin will swim by. And as a scientist, I just think, this is just not right. There shouldn't be penguins and sea lions, you know, in association with tropical fish and corals. So it's a fascinating place.
One of the best in the world for doing diving like that?
I think it is. I think just because of the mix of species you see, there are a lot of sharks there, a lot of manta rays, tons of turtles. You get to see the only place in the world you can see marine iguanas, that dive into the water. There's nothing stranger than being, you know, snorkeling, and you see an iguana sitting on the bottom looking up at you, and you're like, you're not supposed to be in the water like that. And they feed on algae. So they dive down, eat the algae, and then they come back up to warm up on land.
Oh, that's fascinating. That's fascinating. Thank you, Ellen, so much for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thank you. It was a treat.
And thank you, and thanks to all the listeners.
Yeah. Thank you, listeners. Ellen Prager, our guest. Her latest book is Sex, Drugs, and Sea Slime, The Ocean's Oddest Creatures and Why They Matter. She is a marine scientist and president of Earth to Ocean. That was fascinating, huh? We're in a pledge drive, and if you love these kinds of conversations, we do a lot of science on the show. We've done all kinds of things. We do astronomy. We love the skies. We like the ocean. We've talked about global warming. It's important. All those issues are important. Science is important. I'm stating the obvious, but who else talks about it? This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. I'm Kathleen Dunn, and Gina Dragutinovich is with us in our studio, and we're here to ask you to invest just 2 minutes of your time in your own future. Our goal is to make sure that all of the programs you value, including this one, are here on Wisconsin Public Radio when you want them. A contribution of any amount will do just that. Make your gift now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right. We only have a few more minutes left in the hour, and we're still looking for about 20 pledges or so. So your pledge right now helps pay for the programs you count on. Thank you so much if you've already given, and if you haven't, give now. At WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I know you've been enjoying the conversation with Ellen Prager, who's done these remarkable dives all over the world and talks about how we need to pay attention to our oceans. Take a few minutes to make this hour and many hours to come possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you and make your pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Consider sharing your appreciation of the lifelong learning you get from WPR by making a leadership gift. That's with $100 a month. Your gift of $1,200 for the whole year helps make WPR available to everyone. And know that that gift of any amount is welcome right now. That's right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
People often talk about the high quality of life in Wisconsin. We have great state parks, a respected university system, wonderful libraries. Wisconsin Public Radio is also part of the high quality of life here in our state. You enjoy lively discussions, in-depth interviews, great music. Help pay for the variety that you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio with your donation. Give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Oh, when you smile.
Sometimes I have to start my days quite early, and it's nice to get the day started listening to Joy Cardine.
Why do we smile? Well, the answer isn't as obvious as you think.
Later in the day, I enjoy Kathleen Dunn and Ben Maron's At Issue. I always find the guests to be informative and the discussions to be lively and relevant. You're bound to find something that interests you on WPR.
Make your donation in support of the programs you count on. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Gina Dragutinovich, and we are asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. Your pledge may be $50, $120. Will get you one of those T-shirts that will identify you as a public radio listener. $1,200, anything above, below, or in between, we appreciate and count on your gift.
Now, the best of public radio, it's really like great storytelling. You listen because it's engaging, mm-hmm. and it stops you in your tracks, or sometimes it moves you.
Public radio is personal. It's like a voice on the other end of your phone line. You can feel like what you're hearing is intended just for you. And you know what? It is. Listeners are why WPR exists, and members are why we'll thrive and grow into the future. Make your pledge now for the future of WPR. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And your pledge online at WPR.org is especially helpful right now. Your pledge at WPR.org keeps the phone lines open for those who don't have internet access. Please support the programs you rely on at WPR.org. And, of course, you can also pledge at 888-202-2552.
We're still looking for about 20 pledges, Gina, in the next 5 minutes or so. So there is some sense of urgency about this hour. You are part of Wisconsin Public Radio's community of listeners, and maybe you have been for a long time. Now, right now, you can become part of our community of members, people who support the programs they value.
And it's your contribution of any amount, and I'll stress any amount, it makes a difference. Remember, it's not about how much you can do alone, it's about how much we do together. Make your pledge now, WPR.org. 888-202-2552.
If you haven't yet done your part, it's not too late. Don't lose sleep. Just make a donation right now and do it while you're thinking about it. It's easy. It's quick. And maybe you'll sleep better tonight. You will, I think, knowing that you did your part to support the radio station that you count on. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yes, looking for about 20 more pledges in the next few minutes. And that's what it will take to take this to make this hour's goal. And you can help out now at WPR.org. 888-202-2552, and please ask for the WPR t-shirt with your pledge of $120 or more at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Consider becoming a sustainer when you make your gift. A sustaining donation will break your pledge into affordable, ongoing monthly installments. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your pledge is very important. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Let's go to the Galapagos, Gina.
I'm ready to go.
Hey, me too. All right. Thank you, Gina, for being with us. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning and Brett Jaspers, who produce this program. Thanks for all of your pledges. Great conversations ahead. They always are. Here we are all the time. Pledge. Thanks.